Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
How do you deal with maintaining multiple friendships and ensuring that they're all fruitful?
Sorry, before you even ask that, stop asking us if we have boyfriends. Oh. Stop asking that. Go on.
Sometimes in the desire for and in the pursuit of love, we start to settle for the counterfeit.
A lot of us want to go in and ask the right questions because we think based on what they say, we can make our decision. But you don't make decisions based on what people say. You make decisions on how people act.
Because one thing about shame is going to hold you back.
Yeah.
Shame is going to hold you back.
For real.
God will make a way.
Oh, shut up.
Hello and welcome to the Two My Sisters podcast. I'm Courtney.
And I'm Renee, and we are your online sisters and hosts of the Two My Sisters podcast.
We are all about promoting the wellness, growth and development of a community of sisters around the world.
And in today's episode, we're going to be bringing a little bit of TMS Live in London right to the podcast. Mm-hmm. That is right. Sisters, we had an absolute blast at our Live in London show. But one thing that we realized is the girlies have a whole bunch of questions.
Indeed.
Whole bunch of relatable questions too. So we thought we'd actually spend the majority of this podcast answering your questions, answering your dilemmas, and having just a little bit of a, as they say, girl chat.
For sure.
And bringing the show to you.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we have to make sure that our house is swept.
Yeah.
Housekeeping announcements.
What is there to say? At this point, we have gone to Birmingham and come back.
Insane.
So definitely check out our socials. There will be a story highlight for you to see what went on in Birmingham. But I'm sure it was amazing. This is us talking from the past. So hopefully, and we speak it into being, that it was amazing and that God did his thing.
Hallelujah.
But thank you to everybody who showed up and showed out. Thank you to the sisters for your support. What else is happening in the TMS universe?
I think that is about it that we can reveal.
Yeah.
Of course, that's please make sure that you are still supporting us, especially as it pertains to our book. If you haven't already, please, sisters, go and get a copy. Go and get a copy for your friend, whoever you think would benefit from it. We've been hearing on the grapevine that it's a great read. So we really suggest that you check it out.
Yeah, for real.
Sisters, before we get into all of your questions and your dilemmas, there is a sister that is in need.
Right.
Help me as we introduce the next ding, ding, ding.
Dilemma.
Let us get into it. Hi, big sisters.
Hi, sis.
It's your little sis from Zambia.
Love that.
Writing to you from India.
Nice.
Before I get into it, let me just say how grateful I am for all that that TMS does. It really gives me hope for a better future. So thank you.
That's so kind.
Anyways, I'm currently at an Indian college and I do not want to be here. And in fact, I never wanted to be here. A bit of background. My parents are divorced, but my mom has full custody over my two younger siblings and I. I'm 17, so I'm legally a minor. What she says goes. One day, my parents got into a huge fight and threats were made and lawyers were called and my dad wanted to sue for custody at a point. Long story short, my mom got spooked because my dad has the financial muscle and was ready for war at that time. So my mom packed me and my big sister up and sent us to this college.
Right.
Now for the tea. I am super unhappy here. First of all, I hate my course and I don't know if I can even use it. It feels like I picked it because it was the closest thing to medicine and my parents always wanted a doctor. So I just did it without thinking.
Right.
But now I'm in it and I really resent my past self for ever choosing it. I have always loved writing and reading and honestly public speaking in general, but I can't do any of those things here because no one speaks English and I'm not holding it against them. I can't do it here because literally no one cares or no one understands. My mom took out a lot of money to send me here and I just can't tell her that I want to quit. My older brother told me before I left that I was ruining my own life and every day I spend here, I feel like he was right. I can't ask him for help because he said I shouldn't. And my dad, well, he is still mad that I came here in the first place.
Right.
The only way I can think of to get where I want to go is to go to the UK. The only way I can think of to get to where I want to go, which is the UK, is to get my own money. I'm still a minor, so I can't handle my bank account yet, but I turn 18 in November, so I will be able to do that then. I want to start doing YouTube videos and building a community around my interests, but I'm hesitant because I know a lot of strings come attached to being a public figure. I hope to hear from you soon. Thank you in advance. God bless.
Oh, interesting. Oh, this, what immediately came to mind is you really just have to make the most out of a bad situation. I think being a minor puts you in a position where, like you said, your mum basically calls the shots on this one. Being in India may not seem like, you know, the thing that you would have ideally picked, but that's the situation you're in now. So you have to try and make the best out of this situation for the foreseeable future. The next thing that came to mind is try and forgive yourself, your past self, and try to reconcile the fact that when you did make this decision, it was based on the information and the options you had at the time, which were extremely limited. This situation is very complex, and I'm really sorry to hear about like your parents' divorce and what's going on between like a potential custody battle, because I can only imagine how stressful that can be. And so the one thing I would say is give yourself a lot of grace, give yourself kind of give yourself some compassion, because you were making a hard decision to pick a course, to go to somewhere you didn't want to go to for a situation which you really can't control. And so you're, you know, you're alive, you're safe. Hopefully you and your family are together. And what you can do in this situation is just enjoy this course whilst you can. You're not going to be doing it forever. And despite the fact that it may not have been your first choice and you kind of felt like you chose it in haste, it will still provide you with a lot of skills which are transferable for the future, no matter what it is you do. So education, and we'll always be proponents of this, education is amazing in any form. And so take advantage of the fact that you can get an education right now. And also that you can do something which a lot of people do not have the chance to do when they are your age, which is to explore a new culture and live in a new country. And so definitely be explorational, definitely be adventurous, go and see what the cultures are like around you, really soak up the diversity of the people that are probably around you if you are going to like an international school where there are loads of different people from different backgrounds. Try and make friends, try and make connections, and like I said, try and make the best out of a not so great situation. The next thing I would say, and as you were mentioning it, like, okay, there's no one around me who'd really be interested in like public speaking and writing and all the things I'm interested in, I was literally thinking the internet's going to be your best friend. This is a lot of the reason, this is a reason why a lot of people turn to the internet in the first place and turn to content creation, blogging, vlogging in the first place, just wanting an outlet that was outside of their real world to some degree. And so definitely start up a blog, start up a Medium page, or, you know, create that YouTube channel, as you were saying. And I know it does take financial investment, but I do think if you sit down and you talk to your mum about the fact that you're in India, you're not necessarily too happy, and one of the things that you would like is to just explore a hobby, then you can kind of get her permission to start, because you will be starting as a minor anyway. So it would be good to get parental consent and just somebody who's looking over what's happening as you kind of emerge into the internet, because the internet is a vast and sometimes scary place, as we always say. So I definitely say just have this conversation with your parent that just says, you know, thinking of starting a YouTube channel, can you please get me a camera? If there's no financial means for that, then start up a blog, because I guess the same way you've written us this email, there's somewhere for you to write a blog and post it somewhere. And so I would say get started with that. And even if you can't afford to start YouTube, because, you know, the investment can be a bit high, if you have a phone, actually, you can start using your back camera to do that. But in terms of like internet and having enough data to upload, etc., it can be a bit of a drag. And, you know, it may be hard to ask your mum for that, especially as she may be embarking on a custody case. So one thing I would say is starting a blog may be a lot more low cost for you, and just give you something which you find exciting, create, you know, really exciting subject matters to write on and things which you're really passionate about and can help you kind of discover yourself in this season. And I think you never know, there are probably people around you who would be interested in what it is that you are doing. There may be a language barrier, there may be a cultural barrier, but if you can find people around you who there is that ability to communicate with, who may take interest in what it is you do, maybe writing clubs in your school, or things where people, and even if there isn't one, maybe try and create one. Yeah. And kind of go to like the English speaking classes and see if people would want to take part in something like this. But at the same time, just having something for yourself will hopefully make this period a bit more bearable. And that brings me to the last thing, which is, it's just a season. It really is just a period. And as you said, I don't know if you're turning 18 this November, as in this month, or next year, but even if it's, you know, 1 month or 1 year, the time will pass. And so I know, you know, it may be doom and gloom because your brother and your dad and people are upset with you, and people are like, you know, don't call on me for support. But if you can lean on your siblings who are also going through this for support, of like the fact that you have this shared experience, if you can make your mum aware of how it is you're feeling whilst being empathetic to her situation, but also asking her to be, you know, empathetic and compassionate of yours. And then if you can just push through by picking up a hobby, which is a bit of an outlet as you try to appreciate and soak up all of your like studies and your opportunities and being in a new country, I think the next 1 month or 1 year will hopefully be quite bearable, and full of a lot of self-discovery, as well as just discovery of the world that you are now in. And I really do pray, and we really do pray, that this season of whatever's happening in your family as well does come to a swift but also neat end, in a way that is, you know, kind of in everyone's interest, and really make sure that there's not too much emotional damage or fallout from the situation, which is obviously outside of your control, but it is a really big prayer of ours that that be, you know, the outcome of what's going on, sis. You're definitely rightfully confused, but hopefully this kind of gives you a few things which you can think about, which can help you at least find some kind of joy, moments of joy in this season as well. But yeah, what do you think, Renee?
No, I think that was super comprehensive, man. Literally agree with everything that you said, and just bouncing off your kind of latter points around, you know, sometimes we are in a period or a situation or a season of our life that is for the most part not where we want to be.
Yeah.
And I think the benefit right now is you're still relatively very young, and you've got your whole life ahead of you, and knowing that this is only, you know, a season can actually be such a source of strength and power. Yeah, and knowing definitely that there will be an opportunity for you to surpass this season and really become, you know, the architect of your own life is also super great. Unfortunately, we can only deal with the cards that we've been dealt, especially yeah, when we're younger. And I know that this is a difficult time for your family, especially, you know, in the midst of a custody case. Like, it's never going to be, well, in, for the most part, it's never going to be a positive experience for all involved. But I think it is a case of finding the silver lining where you can, and making the best of a situation that you don't want to be in. Because one thing about framing a season in your life that is particularly negative as completely negative is that it takes the joy out of everything.
Most definitely.
So finding those moments to really actually curate joy in your life, yeah, you know, focusing on, you know, creating community where you can, trying to even challenge some of those negative assumptions and negative thought patterns as they come, right? So reframing completely how you're interacting with some of the people at your school, at your college, as much of it feels as though you are, you know, a fish out of water, this could really be a real character building opportunity for you, and a real opportunity to really get to grips with a world that you don't know, as scary as it is. That I'm telling you, sis, will be such an asset moving forward. And you have aspirations to move to the UK. The UK is literally the house of diversity, especially places like London or Birmingham, Manchester, all these metropolitan places. So it's actually quite an asset to be able to navigate these places and these spaces that may be unfamiliar terrain or territory, but equally challenges you to bring out more parts of yourself. So I would definitely say try and find at least smaller opportunities for you to try and make friends, both offline but also online. I think, as you were saying, it's so beautiful that we have online spaces to be able to actually grapple with and create community, this sisterhood community being one of them, but also a whole bunch of online communities that you can get plugged into and engage with and share more about. And I'm just thankful that you were even able to write us this dilemma and trust us enough to kind of amplify and share your voice. Yeah. I'm sure that there are a whole bunch of sisters who are in similar situations where they're very much out of their comfort zone, but also do not necessarily always have the resources that they want right away to make an instant change to their situation. So take solace in the fact that you're also not alone. And as much as you can, I know it's very difficult right now to repair the relationships that you have in your family that are kind of breaking around you. But again, it's finding the momentary joy. It's finding the opportunities to rebuild where possible. Because again, the family unit, the family space is such an important part of our own, you know, progression and the way we navigate life. So even if it can't be one that's positive, at least moving towards a more neutral relationship, at least with your mother, your older brother, your father. And yeah, really starting to think about your plans for the future. Like, how can you set up and invest in your future, knowing that this is but a, you know, a season. If you are, you have aspirations to move to the UK, then it looks like, okay, what are the next steps that I'm going to take to make sure that that becomes a reality in X amount of years? And actually allowing yourself to identify those practical steps and then work towards those steps whilst you are at school can also be a source of hope. But overall, sis, we love you. We are sending big, big hugs. We are sorry that this is, you know, your experience. It's a tough one. And I think it can sometimes be so frustrating when you can't make like immediate changes to your entire situation. But you're on the cusp of adulthood, whether it's past, whether it's come by the time that you've listened to this podcast episode. Happy birthday. We hope that you were able to enjoy it even just a little bit as you enter into this new age. Mm-hmm. And we wish nothing but the best for you. We also pray that there is clarity and wisdom and discernment in your next steps. And we also just pray that the earth, everything around you collaborates to make that a possibility. Amen. But yeah, sending lots of love, sis. And as always, sisters, we would love to hear your thoughts, your insights. Are any of you experiencing the same thing as our good sis? Are any of you like a little bit further ahead in your life, in your career, having come from a similar background? What words of wisdom can you send back over to sis who is trying to get it all together in her own life? We would so appreciate it if you would drop it like it's hot in the comment below over here on YouTube.
For sure.
But moving on to the meat and bones of the conversation. The reason I really wanted to do this conversation and this type of episode is the girlies love the dilemmas, but there seems to be a lot of questions that stay coming up when it comes to having girly chats with the girls. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
And as much as we loved the live show, we only touched the surface, literally. Oh,
we couldn't get through all of those questions.
It was insane.
There was like over 1,000 people in the room. Oh, and we're like, yeah, everyone, like, if you want to ask a question, incoming 400 questions.
And one thing about us is we can't do the whole... So here's like one point.
No.
We had to expand, expound, nuance, elaborate.
That's what they call it. That's what they call
it. I think we answered like two questions.
Literally.
But it was hearty, meaty.
Yeah. It was good stuff. People took stuff out of the room.
It was great. Yeah. So today, I don't know if we'll ever be able to get through all of those questions. Some, just to manage expectations.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it would form the basis of a really great girl chat.
We can always revisit.
This is true. Revisit. A whole podcast episode.
Season
just
5 of the podcast is coming up. You never know, maybe we can change the structure around a little bit.
In fact, by the time that you guys are listening to this, it may very well be the actual 3rd year anniversary of this podcast. What was it like?
Past like the 7th of November.
Yeah. Oh, 3 years, 3 years, 4 seasons, and we're still here in your earlobes. How about that? How about the ghost that's not going? How about, you know, we've been around.
Yeah, we have.
But to kick off this nice little girls chat, one of the most popular questions that we actually got was, how do you deal with maintaining multiple friendships and ensuring that they're all fruitful? Is it genuinely possible, or can we only have a small handful?
It's genuinely possible, but it depends on what you determine as fruitful. Because every friendship will yield different fruit. And I think when you manage that kind of expectation of what does this relationship, what does a fruitful relationship look like for us? Ask that same question for every one of your friends, right? So like for some of your friends, a fruitful relationship, depending on what you're called to be to one another, is seeing each other all the time, speaking to each other all the time. I don't know, just whatever it is you determine to be fruitful. Whereas with some of your other friends who may be more so acquaintances or professional friends, a fruitful friendship is a successful collaboration on something. And that's it, you know? So depending on the capacity of your friendships, fruit will look different. And I think that's why it's important to really manage expectations by calling your friendship what it is. Is this an acquaintance? Is this a professional person, like a professional Peter? Is this a colleague? Is this someone in your network? Is it your friend? Is it your boss? Is it your whatever it is? Is it a mentee? Is it a mentor? What is this relationship? Because I think friendship is a very broad term and we're used to bringing up like, oh, this person is my friend. And I've even had to catch myself on it recently on like, they're not my friend, actually. They're like someone I know within my network. And it's just easy to call them a friend. But if we're not careful, that can then breed unrealistic expectations for what is to come out of and be put into this relationship. So I think just making sure you and the person are on the same page. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an explicit conversation of like, this is our contractual agreement. It's more so like a, we know what's going down. And if you want more, let me know. If you, this is too much, let me know. And I just think being... finding that ground of like, no, both of our expectations are being met and both of us feel like we're doing this to our current capacity. And I think people just generally understand that. I think where things can become techie is when you want more than the person's willing to give. And I think that's, or vice versa, they want more than you're willing to give. So I think it's worth just thinking like, even if I can just write down who are my top priorities in my friends, not like a league table, but like a league table, where it's like, who are actually my priorities? Who are like my close friends? Who are my sisters? Who do I want to check in regularly and less structured? And then who am I trying to build relationship with, relationships within this season? Let's actually put some stuff in the diary to cultivate that relationship. But that communication doesn't necessarily need to be every day. Those meetups don't necessarily have to be as often, or it could be vice versa. You're trying to build relationships, so you dedicate more in-person time to meeting new people. And then, you know, your OGs, your people who, you know, that's my Cody, you see each other every 3 months and it's fine. And it's cool. So I think it's just knowing yourself, knowing your friends, knowing the expectations, and then like practically thinking about how much time and energy am I going to allocate to each of these things, and do I think I can actually do it? But yeah, I think it all comes down to what is a fruitful friendship with that person specifically.
I love that.
Yeah.
You know what that made me think of? The fact that when you think of a fruits bowl, the fruits are all different, right? You can have apples, oranges, bananas, pears, tomatoes, if you think they're a fruit. And I think you're right. The trouble is many of us approach friendships thinking that everybody has to be an apple, or that relationship always has to look like a banana, when really your friendships will be individual, they will be tailored. And I think they'll also be governed by the fact that you have a finite amount of energy to give. And I think sometimes you can feel, at least sometimes I feel a bit guilty about that, right? Like I can only give so much. And as much as I would like relationships to be quote unquote equal, whatever that looks like, it's just not realistic within my current scope of responsibilities and how I live my life. So not being afraid to actually segment relationships or at least define relationships individually and decide on different cadences, different styles, the way that that would look like. As much as you can value and love people around the same mark, that expression doesn't always have to look the same, exactly. And allowing yourself to do that and not cave under the pressure of maintaining a friendship that looks the same across all of your friends. And also not being ashamed to use those different labels, right? Acquaintance, neighbor, somebody that you see regularly. Like it's actually fine. I can still have a lot of love for you. It's just that we're not friends in that particular way. And unshackling yourself from doing that. And then also I think if you are going to name those priority friendships, actually putting in the work to maintain them. I love what you're saying in terms of like having a league table, but it makes me think of like star players on like basketball or like football or whatever. Managers will put a lot of investment in a lot of their star players because they know that these are the, you know, high priority players. As much as the whole team is a big priority and the way that they work together is important, there are certain relationships that will require a different type of investment and a deeper investment for it to be maintained. And if you don't put that investment in, well, you don't necessarily have a star player or a star relationship. So still being committed to actually investing in those relationships that you've identified as important to you, and deciding what that looks like between you as well. I think making sure that this is, what are the values of those friendships that you have with those other people as well? What are the cadences that you have decided on in terms of communication? I love what you're saying in terms of there will be some people you'll speak to every 3, 4, 6 months. I even saw something on TikTok recently that was super cute where folks hadn't spoken to each other in a while, so they had a slideshow.
Yeah, that's cute.
And they did
cute.
Like a nice night at the end of 6 months. What are the updates?
Little update. You know? No top liners.
Just high level stuff, you know, nothing. I love that. Nothing too that. Too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, sis, that's
What we'd say.
That's what we'd say.
Yeah.
But moving on to the next question.
Ask away.
And this is one that we actually answered at the live show.
Oh.
But kept on coming up in different variations.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
And you know
yeah.
the girls love a good conversation yeah. on the romantic stuff, as we have
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that is.
Sorry, before you even ask that, stop asking us if we have boyfriends. Oh. Stop asking that. Go on.
Stop asking. I was about to say, care to expat?
Go and ask your question.
Key questions to ask a future partner for the single ladies. Before, in fact, sorry. My processing speed today, guys, is
not
just,
in fact, sorry. In fact,
not just on the boyfriend part, but also stop projecting that we're depressed and lonely and sad. Because there's been a whole bunch of people that are like, you guys live with cats. First of all, how do you know I'm not allergic?
Good question.
How do you know? Yeah. Have you ever seen a furry animal? I know we've spoken about Puff, okay? Puff is not here yet.
Oh, Puff, in spirit.
She's not around.
She's in spirit.
Okay, stop projecting all of these really, like, if you're gonna talk on us, at least say positive things. How can you be out here?
Internet, babe.
You'll read a comment and say, you're single with five cats.
But I think it's interesting. As soon as you say, like, my friends are a priority in my life, not the priority, but a priority in my life, people are like, oh...
With that face, is,
so sad, so sad. I think that's quite interesting, especially as we talk about, like, it's literally the whole first chapter of our book where friendships are actually worth investing in.
Yeah.
But also, the reason why I say stop asking us about our boyfriends is one, so people can stop projecting, and two, because, like, there's only so much of ourselves we can share before this becomes about us.
Right.
And this isn't about us.
Right.
This, our friendship and that part of our lives is here as just a model to lead something else for a generation. And, like, let's never say never. We will share certain things about our lives.
Yeah.
You guys know, I've been so vocal about being single. It's 100%. Actually quite sickening.
Yeah.
And I just think that when you're open about stuff like that, the projections come in thick and fast.
Listen.
Especially when it's over a period of time, people make their own narrative. Mm. And I've always said, like, the key aim of transparency should be to bring value to someone else, just to tell your business. So that's what I'm going to say on that.
In essence, please mind the business that pays you. Thank you. And stop projecting on us, guys. The ones that hate us with the egg.
Yeah. But sisters, we get it. We get that you'd be curious. We get that you'd want us to be happy. Mm. And we are happy.
Yeah.
God will make a way.
God will make a way.
Oh, shut up, shut up.
God bless that young pastor.
Honestly.
He's
oh
moving.
God, we adore you.
We adore
we
you.
We praise
oh,
you.
Oh, glory is yours.
Hallelujah. Anyway, question.
Key questions to on the romantic stuff.
Key
questions to ask a potential partner.
Yes. Yeah, we did get this at the live show. I think we got really, really good answers at the live podcast show. From the panelists, and they were talking about how, like, really and truly, not to give away what everyone said, but really and truly, you just want to make sure you're on the same page.
Absolutely.
And I think that's just the essence of the essence of relationships right now is communication. In this dating phase, let's just get all our cards out on the table about what we want this to be and what we're expecting from it. Is this just a talking stage? Is this leading to marriage? Is this sexual? Is this not sexual? Do you actually like me? Things like that. Just getting on the table, like, what sort of person are you? What is important to you? And the more serious you get, just making sure that though the seriousness of those conversations increases as well, where, again, we're just trying to get on the same page and get to a place of agreement, because, like, I always say this, like, agreement is so powerful. And I think it just allows for there to be such great understanding between the both of you that you are working towards something similar and you both don't feel cheated or like you're being misunderstood or like too much pressure is being put on you. So I think as you get more serious, you can increase the seriousness of those conversations. And if it's, you know, evolving from what do you like to what do you want to be as a parent, like things like that, it will evolve over time. But the main aim is communicating so that you can be on the same page. what is this? What does dating mean? What does a relationship mean? What does a relationship mean to you? Because if you say you want a relationship, I might be saying monogamy. You might be thinking polygamy. I want to know we are on the same page. So let's make sure that we are having these conversations. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love the fact that monogamy, polygamy, because some of y'all open relationships.
Yeah, open relationship. And it's like, no, let's get on the same page as to what we're both committing ourselves to, 100%. Just so that I know I'm getting what I want, and you're also not coming in with unrealistic expectations. 100%. So I think that's what kills relationships in the dating phase, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I thought this, and it's like, don't assume. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. And I think framing is really, really important. I think where a lot of people go wrong is the framing of the question. So if you are interested in marriage, if you are interested in having kids, it doesn't have to be how many kids do you want, when do you want to get married. Yeah. It can be, I'm interested in marriage at the end of this courtship, are you? It can be, I would in future potentially like to have a family around the size of XYZ. Is this something that resonates with you? And keeping it high level, because I think a lot of the pressure comes when it is directed specifically at a person straight off the bat. And it's more so about, as you were saying, alignment of those core values as early as possible. Just so that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. yahoofinance.com.
You guys know that you're on the same page, but it doesn't put quote unquote people under pressure. But even with that, sometimes pressure is good. Sometimes it's good to put people under pressure, because the more that you don't want to end up suppressing a lot of your values or your thoughts or your feelings this early on, or like relatively early on, because you're afraid of what this person might think, because since there's going to be a whole bunch of other things that you're going to encounter in the dating process, even if and when you get into a relationship, other obstacles that you'll have to overcome. And it's helpful to have a understanding of how that person deals with that straight off the bat, if you can. And also understand how they respond as well, right? You are, the dating phase is an opportunity for you to build a catalog of this person. Yeah. What are their characteristics? What do they believe in? What do they care about? Do your lives actually align, and can they fit together? What is a non-negotiable? What isn't a non-negotiable? And I think sometimes, especially as women, we can be forced into or compelled into thinking that we need to just simply allow the guy to take, you know, the driving steer, to do the pursuing, and to just sit comfortably and take whatever comes our way. And it's like, no, this needs to be intentional, because this is a meeting of both parties, not just the one party. Even if you were of the belief that somebody should steer, at the same time you're still part of the car and still part of that engine. So I think it's actually very important for women to actually have a very intentional part of that dating process. And if you do have some burning questions that you want to ask, to avoid doubt, to avoid wasting time, then ask them.
Definitely.
But moving on to the next.
Sorry, there was something I was gonna say.
Go ahead.
Definitely, I think what's also important there is not just asking questions, but looking for whether those actions match up.
Because
I think when you ask people a question, especially off the bat, they know what to say, like, I want this, I want that, I want this. But over time, our minds can change, our behavior also will let us know what we'll actually do in certain scenarios. And I think more so than really putting our attention on, oh, does this match on paper, is actually, does this match in real life? What is your actual behavior? What's your approach to certain situations? What is your character like? And do I get on with that? Do you live up to what it is you said? And even if you don't, can I live with what it is I'm seeing and not just what you're saying?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us want to go in and ask the right questions because we think based on what they say, we can make our decision. But you don't make decisions based on what people say. You make decisions on how people act.
And some of them are acting wrong.
Yeah.
So please act right. Off the back of that question, actually. What advice would you give to ladies who are slowly giving up on true love in the current generation?
Don't give up.
Stop it.
Don't give up on true love.
Elaborate.
What would I say? I feel like love still exists. Love is not, love isn't an era. It's like it's a thing. It's a thing that people commit to. It's a person. It's a feeling. I think it's, you can find it. I think our generation is definitely tapped in some ways. And I think it's linked to all of the necessary skills which we are avoiding cultivating because we are hiding behind tweets and social media and the images and the personas which we get to project into the digital world. And we forget that actually, like, our characters need sharpening, and we have to demonstrate that offline and in person and cultivate those in-person relationships. And so I wouldn't give up on it. Is it hard? Yes. I don't necessarily think it's harder now compared to other generations. I think that it's just different. And so all you can really do is be authentic and true to yourself. Really do work on yourself, invest in yourself, but also, like, wait for the true thing to come along. I think there will be a lot of counterfeits. There will be a lot of things that come along which we are tempted to settle for. And I think you, in order to hold on to true love, it's basically a rejection of that. It's avoiding settling. It's deciding that actually I want to wait for the true thing to happen, and also determining what true love is to you. Are you looking for that Hollywood whirlwind romance? Maybe letting go of that fantasy or letting go of, like, the Disney projection of love may be a good thing to do, because life doesn't necessarily work out that way. But if you're if you're talking about looking for genuine connection, genuine safety, genuine commitment, covenant, sacrifice, genuine grace, comfort and care, and unity and agreement, I think those things are all out there, because those things are all decisions people choose, right? They choose to be caring. They choose to be in covenant. They choose to be committed. And so looking for somebody who can make that choice, if you exist and you're willing to make that choice, there is someone else in the world who exists and is willing to make that choice with you. I think it's more so allowing yourself to not settle for what is not love, in the disappointment of what you may be seeing in the world. And I do also think it's making sure that your idea of true love is not unrealistic. Because maybe you're looking for something which actually doesn't exist. If you're looking for love without problem, love without disagreement, love without challenge, love without refinement, love without sacrifice, then you're not really looking for love. You're just looking for ease. And I don't think there's any such thing as easy love, which is true love. So I do think that you are going to necessarily be signing yourself up to hardship, but I think the beauty of love is that you overcome the challenges that come with it. And so that stuff is out there. It's once in a lifetime sometimes. And it can be found in so many different ways as well, not only romantically, but also platonically. And I think also finding hope in that fact, right? There are good people in the world. You just have to keep finding them. Yeah, and being one. How about you?
That was so beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you.
So platonic. We're also really trying to make a movement with hashtag platonic. So if you can support us, and when your friend does something that's really, like, sweet, that in a romantic context, you would say that's so romantic, please say, oh, that's so platonic. And let's keep it going, guys. Keep it going. Goes. I know the sisters are probably listening in to
you. No, you never know. They could try.
Child, hashtag platonic. But no, I absolutely love that. It is really understanding what is meant by true love, right? And being quite realistic about what is love, what does love represent for me, and where can I find love realistically? And there is an element of love that can be encompassed in those Hollywood depictions, right? In the Disney, in the it should feel like this, or it should look like this. And sometimes it looks like unplugging from all of these should be depictions and actually defining what love looks like for you and to you. especially if you are in an environment where the depictions of love are unhealthy or abusive, or perhaps you haven't actually seen or been exposed to good representations of love, then it's even more important that you actually find that.
Definitely.
And you pursue that outside of, you know, the pictures that we may see on social media or the narratives that, you know, we come across online. Trying to find proximity to people that have love, experience love, getting around, you know, couples that may actually share love, getting around friends that are loving to you, and understanding that love can exist in these spaces and in tandem with each other.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we can, in our pursuit of that one true love, we forget that we're actually surrounded by love in different ways and different manifestations. Mm-hmm. And that pursuit of that romantic true love is only one element of the true love that can be felt from friends, from family, from the things that we do, the things that bring us joy, from loving ourselves, from cultivating a relationship with God. All of these different things can bring love into our lives. So not allowing ourselves to be bogged down by these traditional depictions of love, but also allowing ourselves to recognize the presence of love in our lives already, and honoring that.
Definitely.
And then also, if you are, you know, actively pursuing romantic love, as Courtney said, don't settle.
Yeah.
Like, don't be out here settling for what we think is going to produce love if there aren't any seeds that are already there to be found.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it's so easy for us to hope that one day this situationship or this situation will turn into love, or, you know, settle for something just because we have this dream of it blossoming into something else. But if those seeds are already providing indicators that this isn't love, then sis, you have to get out.
Yeah.
And also equally, if you are coming across these kind of more abusive depictions of love, or you've experienced that, actually in embracing the love that you already have around you, or pursuing love intentionally in all of these different environments, you're already pulling up a shield against any false depictions of love that may enter into your life. It makes me think of, you know, some of the dilemmas that we've had, some of the things that we have encountered in terms of hearing women's stories around these false depictions of love, and understanding that sometimes in the desire for and in the pursuit of love, we start to settle for the counterfeit. So even in that, making sure that you don't settle, keep keep the love in your heart or the desire for love alive, but also keep fanning that flame, because eventually you will find that person. If a person like you exists, then your partner,
that's it,
or the love that you seek actually exists too.
There you go.
It can be found, guys.
It really can. It really can. And wait out for it. Search for it.
Yeah. They're coming. It will find you.
Hopefully.
Coming on to our last question for the podcast. Mm-hmm. Like we said, there was a whole bunch, but out of the 200, we can only do a few, guys. How do you heal effectively and free yourself from the past, shame, unsuccessful friendships, and trying to move forward in adulthood?
Oh, that is a loaded question. How do you heal? Well, firstly, like, healing isn't just about the amount of time. It really is about the intentionality. I think you have to take real practical steps to really go into those different layers of it. What is it that has brought this brokenness, feeling of emptiness or sadness, or whatever it is you're trying to heal from, whether it's trauma, or like you said, those senses of shame, like what caused those? What did it teach you about life? What did it teach you about people? What did it tell you, or what did it make you believe about yourself? And it really becomes an investigative exercise that needs to be done over time. And I would argue it needs to be done with someone, like a professional, or, you know, just somebody who can really guide you through that emotional work, because it's hard. That deep work is really hard, and it is labor intensive, emotional labor. Allow yourself to take your time to do it, but be intentional about every single step that you take, and then remind yourself that there is redemption. Like, there is, your whole life can transform. It may not be overnight, but it will happen eventually with the right amount of work in it and the right amount of hope for the future. And I think a lot of us, when we are in that place of feeling like we are broken, or things can't, you know, we kind of get into this state of pessimism. The thing that we often don't have is hope, hope for a better future. And I think that's one of the key things you have to hold on to and fight to hold on to for the future. It's not necessarily radical optimism or delusion, being delusional and delusion, but it's more so hope. Just I have hope that things could get better, even if it's just in one area of my life.
Yeah.
I actually do have hope that this thing could change, because I know it doesn't have to be like this. It's not like this for other people, and even though, you know, it's been like this for me, it doesn't need to be like this for me for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And if you let go of that hope, there's nothing left to fight for. And so allow yourself to actually have hope, and then start doing the work to do the fighting. Like, you know, whether it's going to therapy or having the necessary conversations with the people in your life, or at least, you know, giving yourself that affirmation that says things are going to actually get better. I just need to do the work. Then do that, you know, do the journaling, do the long sessions of like just thinking, and don't think yourself into circles, but allow yourself to actually find practical steps that you can take forward to resolve those things within your heart, within your soul. The next thing I would actually say when it comes to adulting as well is, similarly, all is not lost, and let go of your preconceived timeframes as to when things should be done and how things should be. And oh my gosh, like comparison then kicks in. You're thinking everyone else has this figured out and I don't. That is definitely not the case. And the more you allow yourself to think about that lie, you kind of get stuck. You get stuck in hopelessness, and you get stuck thinking that things will not work out for you.
Yeah.
And like I said, what's necessary and like integral to actually healing is a lot of hope, a lot of faith, and a lot of commitment to getting to where it is you envision yourself being and who you envision yourself being. And so let go of the comparisons, man. Let go of the, oh my gosh, how did I even get here in the first place? Oh my gosh, other people have this figured out. No one else can relate. That's definitely not true. A whole bunch of us are here thinking, how do I navigate this? Things haven't gone well for me. I really want this and this and that to be better in my life. And I think that's what the essence of this whole glowing and growing journey is. It's a continual process of assessment, and not necessarily scrutiny, but actually evaluating what's going on, and does it align with the life I want to build for myself? And if it's not, then okay, what's the work that I need to do to make it like align that, and am I willing to commit myself to doing that work, and can I surround myself with people who will help me do that work? And so that's basically the process you need to go on. And please do not think you're alone in that experience. It's definitely not unique, but it's something that a lot of us can definitely resonate with in terms of feeling lost, feeling broken, and just knowing that like the pieces that you have right now can be made into a really nice masterpiece if you just start crafting with what you have.
I love that. Absolutely love that. You know, the thing about healing is it's not always going to be a cut and dry story a linear trajectory. Oftentimes we heal in bits. We sometimes regress. Sometimes things happen. And I think the beauty of adulthood, I know a lot of people see this as a negative, but the beauty of adulthood is that we can actually take accountability and responsibility for our decisions. So it means that there is a creative power. There is a agency that we have, right?
Yeah.
And healing is no different. The fact that we can take and own our decisions is such a positive, because it means that we can own our healing. We can own our decisions. We can own the fact that maybe we messed up here, but we can also own the fact that we can do better.
Yeah.
And it's very important to actually lean into that. So maybe things have not gone right in the past. It's a great learning opportunity. It's a great time for you to really process what actually happened here. To what extent can this be attributed to the person that I was then? And how can I make sure that I am taking active steps on a daily basis to becoming the woman that I actually see myself as, or the woman that I really want to become? And being very intentional about that process, putting together a program for yourself. I think adulthood is tough because it almost feels like the situations and the stakes are a lot higher and a lot more difficult to navigate, because we don't have the same systems that we may have had within a family unit, or the same systems that we may have in like school or other institutions that we are protected in. It feels like we're very much fending for ourselves out there. And unfortunately, relationships can be one of the primary sites in which a lot of damage can be done. But equally, relationships are the primary site in which a lot of us derive our most joyful moments from. So seeing you know, what can you be held accountable to? How do you want that accountability to look like? Not dwelling too much on the unsuccessful friendships that you mentioned, but also thinking about what were the key points of that you can learn? What are the people that you still have around you right now that you can invest in, moving forward with them, and also creating open lines of feedback and communication with people around you too. A lot of, I don't want to project here or assume or anything like that, but one of the fundamental ways that we can mess up the relationships in our lives is that breakdown in communication, that breakdown in the consistent sharing of thoughts and opinions in a way that's actually couched in love. So thinking about, okay, this is what didn't work in my past friendships or my past relationships. This is what I would like to implement moving forward, and being intentional like that from the jump when you are crafting these relationships with other people is super, super important. I think also self-forgiveness is important to the healing process. It's very difficult to heal if you don't first forgive yourself. And it's very hard to do, especially when we give the power of forgiveness to other people. There is still always going to be an element of like, the guilt and the shame that's associated with actions that you may have done. And as much as you may have been a perpetrator or whatever to somebody else, there is still an element of this happened between two people or more than two people. And one of those core elements is you. And you need to make sure that you forgive yourself for at least that part, just so that you're not held bound or held hostage or trapped in that past, that shame. Because one thing about shame is gonna hold you back. Shame is gonna hold you back
for real.
So finding opportunities to forgive yourself through those affirmations on a daily basis. It might be a, you know, I am worthy, I am deserving, because one thing about shame is shame often strips us of our confidence and our worthiness in the things that we believe that we've been called to, or often strips us of our self-esteem. And it's really important that you really focus on building that back up, especially throughout the healing process, because without that self-love, that self-confidence, that self-esteem, it's very, very difficult for you to heal, but also difficult for you to create the life that you think that you deserve. So really focusing on that, and cutting yourself a little bit of slack. Adulting is hard. Guys,
it really is.
This thing is a daily battle. It really requires daily intentionality, but also daily rest. The healing journey doesn't have to be super intense all the time of you like processing things and like doing the active steps. Sometimes the healing process can actively look like rest. Like, I'm going to give myself a day to like get myself together every few weeks or even every week. I'm going to do this for myself. And really repairing that relationship that you have with yourself, and not constantly subjecting yourself to what initially starts off with good intentions, but eventually transforms into you tormenting yourself because it's not from a place of love and restoration, but more from a place of guilt and shame. That's what I would say.
That's good practical advice
to close off the episode. A bit of a throwaway question, actually. And it has made me think about, obviously, the dilemma that we initially got was from our younger sister. And one beautiful thing about the sisterhood is that it is multi-generational. So we got sisters that are young, and then we got some sisters that are fine as wine. Reflecting on Courtney, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, what is one thing that she needed to hear?
You're capable of more than you think. Yeah, definitely. You're capable of more than you think. I think 2-3 years ago, and I think this is by virtue of just being young, but I was like building my company. I was kind of like, oh, where can this go? And I think it's only this year that I've really discovered just how great I am and like just what God has really blessed me with the ability to do and what I've been able to learn from the experiences that I've had in my past. And I think 3 years ago, I was definitely at that stage where I was like, yeah, I'm good at things. And people, I think people could see it in me more than I could see it in myself. And I was willing to kind of give it, just do whatever I could, but it wasn't intentional. And I really didn't have a deep sense of gratitude for and I think this is just hindsight, but like, I didn't have a deep sense of gratitude for the journey God had taken me on and what it had made me. And I feel like this year I really discovered what I'm made of, and I was shocked and I was impressed. I would say that, and I'm really, I would go back and tell her like, oh, you're capable of so much more. I don't think you need to start seeing just how great you are. Yeah, and I think it's brought a level of confidence. It's brought a level of gratitude.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's brought a bit of a sobriety as well. Mm. But it's been nice.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah, I'm proud of you.
It's been nice. It's hard to put into words. It's definitely felt like a little bit of a butterfly kind of cocoon, blooming. Caterpillar cocoon, you know, emerging as a butterfly kind of thing. And I'm like, wow, like, rah. Because it's funny. Oh, it's a whole tangent. It's funny because everyone's like, oh, CDB, CDB. And I'm like, but the thing is, it's more so like, why does that name even carry any weight? Mm-hmm. Like I just kind of used to think like, why are people drawn to me? Why is it that pretty much everything I touch turns out successfully? And I think it's a lot of like imposter syndrome surrounding, am I actually good at what I do? Or is this all just by chance? Mm-hmm. I did that. And I think the more I've been deep in God and the more I've been thinking about like purpose and the impact and the weight of what it is we get to do, the more I'm like, nah, you're special.
Yeah.
You're special. How about you, Renee? Oh, thank you for saying you're proud of me. Sorry. It's just real.
It's all right, girl. How about you? In flow state. For me, resist the urge to self-edit.
Mm.
I think being somebody that absolutely adores writing and also somebody that's like super hell-bent on just creating cool and successful things, I think I've been in a lot of environments where I've had to like hide or edit or be very conscious of the way that I'm being received to the point where I had gotten to a place where I found it quite difficult to articulate my actual emotions and feelings, or I had started exhibiting masking behaviors. So just to like appease situations, you know, I'm going to let things slide. Going to, you know, just move with the tide and stuff like that. And I think what's actually been super freeing, especially getting older, is just, if I don't like it, I don't like it.
Yeah.
If this is something that is not aligned with the work that I want to do, I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
And allowing myself to feel no guilt or shame about actually being authentic to myself and how I feel has been so freeing. So if I could go back and do it early on and be like, babe, just say what you needed to say here, or spend some time actually keying into your emotions and how you're feeling internally.
Yeah.
And then the expression will come later because it's actually been in the moments of me being the rawest that I've seen the most breakthroughs in my life, even in like professional situations, personal situations, actually just allowing my emotions and my thoughts to come out has been so beneficial, so fruitful. And it means that there's just been so much greater alignment and joy in the things that I do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I have to do anything, or I don't feel like I'm forced to show up in a particular way. I'm only doing it out of a place of, I want to do what I want to do because I genuinely believe in it and I care about it. Or I'm pursuing this relationship with this person because I actually like the person and I think we're a good fit. Or I'm actually building the things that I want to build because I think they're genuinely important and not because of certain expectations or whatever. So actually just ceasing and desisting on the self-editing and allowing the rawness of my thoughts, my feelings and myself to actually come out and flow through.
Definitely.
And it makes me think of you know the tattoo that I have on my arm that's like a flower and a face. And initially I got it because I like the duality of some people see a flower, some people see a face. But the older I get and the more I mature, this is so moist by the way guys, but we're here, the older I get, the more important it is for me to represent both. And that whole idea of it doesn't have to be one or the other. I can be present in both.
At the same time.
Exactly. So yeah. Ceasing and desisting on
beautiful.
The
beautiful self-editing.
Self-editing.
That's wonderful. Lovely to see.
So platonic.
I don't even know if that was the right context.
I will force it. Guys, look, it's either you accept platonic or I start doing that whole rapping thing. And I think we've come to a place where we've collectively
have
decided.
You come to a place? No. Have you come to a place? Because others were there early.
I think we have since come to an understanding.
You have come to the understanding. I think someone has self-acceptance has taken place.
I think
some acceptance has taken place on your part.
There will always be a part of me though that believes that Maybe somewhere else in the ethosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
Renee the rapper.
Oh, thriving.
RK the spoken word artist.
Thriving.
He's living her best ideal.
100%.
But unfortunately, the Renee of this manifestation has been called to be, you know, TMS. We're here.
We've just witnessed the breakthrough. A whole season long breakthrough.
Guys,
Jesus. Season 4.
Because season 5, I might come back and be like,
and I will take it out of the episode. Wow.
Anyways, guys, look, I don't want to threaten you, but hashtag platonic or I bring back. This is how I know I'll get caught in your board, because you'll proper support it. Be like, guys, what? Let's get hashtag platonic.
I won't be held on. You can rap. That's the thing. Like, you can actually rap.
You know those parents that are like,
you can do it.
Go ahead and do it.
Yeah, you can do it. And hopefully
in the expression of yourself, you'll realize that what you're doing is not good.
Yeah, you do it, babe.
Support. I love the unconditional support that I get from
Courtney. Is it unconditional?
I love the unconditional support that I get from Courtney. Thank you. Anyways, guys, hashtag platonic. if I've come up with a rap song that's called hashtag platonic, child, that's even the...
Wow.
Anyways, guys, let me stop holding. Let me... Absolute waste, man. Let me stop holding people hostage. They're probably thinking, Rush, she's going to drop a sweet 16. Anyways, sisters, we would love to know, what are your thoughts on some of the questions that we answered? Does anything resonate with you? Do you have any other burning questions that you have for us? Did you like this style of podcast episode where we had a bit of a chit chat? Let us know in the comments below on YouTube. But you can also post a comment over on Spotify. So whilst you are rating this podcast 5 stars, you can also leave a comment that we can publish on Spotify. And whilst you are, you know, once you've done that, I'm just defining the user journey for you. So you listen to the podcast, you leave it 5 stars, you write your comments, come to YouTube, you like it, you leave your comment. After you have done all of that, please come and follow our platforms on social media. @ My Sisterhood on everything, LinkedIn, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We're there.
We love to see it.
And of course, come and follow us on our individual pages. The lovely lady to the left of me @CD Boateng. And of course, come and follow me over @ReneeKapuku.
We love to see it. Well, sisters, have an amazing, amazing week. Apologies if my energy has been low. I am shattered to my core. Oh my days. But yeah, we love you all so much. Keep sending in your questions and episode requests. Have an amazing week, and as always, keep glowing and growing. Ciao, ciao.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.